call it a VP punchline.
Dick Cheney was supposed to be here, but he is very busy working on his memoirs, tentatively titled How to Shoot Friends and Interrogate People.
It's nice to know that you're still loved and are invited out in public sometimes.
The chilliness between Cheney and Obama becomes a backhanded debate over national security and interrogation of detainees. Former vice president, now memoir writer, tracking Dick Cheney's undisclosed vocation on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. Monday, May 11th. I'm John Hockenberry. Happy birthday to my dad, by the way. We have a huge Monday show. I'm joined by Farai Jadeh. Good morning, Farai.
Hey, what's going on? So coming up this morning, we have got a couple of international stories. We've got Sri Lanka, but also the Pakistani government's efforts to cope with thousands of refugees fleeing the Swat Valley. Here in the U.S., we wonder, do you love a man in uniform? One of our guests does this morning. She gives us her perspective as a military wife and an outsider to military culture. Those stories coming up, but first these headlines.
And in the headlines, wildfires around Santa Barbara, California, now 65% contained, and many residents are returning to their homes. Joe Waterman of the California Fire Incident Command Team says investigators think they know the cause.
The fire cause appears to be related to the use of power tool equipment involved in vegetation clearance.
That comes after some Santa Barbara residents recently received notices saying they would need to clear away brush. Officials wouldn't say if anyone faced charges. Pope Benedict is in Israel today. Upon arrival at the airport, he called for the establishment of an independent Palestinian state. During his trip, he'll hold talks with Israeli and Palestinian leaders and visit sites linked to the life of Jesus. Farai?
Well, the UN says that fighting in northern Sri Lanka is now a bloodbath. The spokesperson, Gordon Weiss, says there are 50,000 civilians trapped along with the LTTE, or more popularly known as the Tamil Tiger Rebels.
They have the LTTE bottled up in an area the size of New York Central Park. So it has been a matter of time, and it's for this exact reason that the UN has been warning of an impending bloodbath should something not give.
Now, a government doctor says at least 430 civilians were killed just over the weekend, including 100 children. We can't verify that because reporters are actually banned from the war zone. In Pakistan, the government says it killed 200 militants around the Swat Valley in fighting over the weekend, and the UN is warning the country to be prepared for a huge increase in the number of civilians fleeing the fighting.
Most Asian markets higher today following the trend Wall Street set on Friday. The Dow went up 2% to close at 85.75. The S&P finished trading at 9:29. That's where it begins trading this morning. President Obama tackles health care again today. He's going to talk about an offer from the private sector to spend $2 trillion to reduce costs by $2 trillion to help pay for the new program. So the president is announcing cost savings in health care. Wow. Where would you start to bring down the costs of health care? Take a look at your own health care budget. What's out of control? What can you control? Tell us the story of healthcare inflation in your own life and how you are controlling your own healthcare bills. Obama says he can save $2 trillion. How much can you do? 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. The agenda coming up.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Star Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. It is Monday morning, and that means just one thing.
Our government.
Bailout.
Your government.
Energy resources.
Healthcare.
Iraq and Afghanistan.
Global financial recession.
The work that needs to be done.
We call it the agenda here on The Takeaway, but it's also our Monday opportunity to visit with our friend Marcus Mabry, international business editor of The New York Times. Glad to have you back with us, Marcus.
Good to be here.
And right off the bat, the president, in his weekly radio address, outlined one huge consumer issue that's going to be on the agenda this week in Washington. And it's also expected at about noon today, another one. The president will be announcing a voluntary $2 trillion of cost savings voluntarily from the healthcare industry as a way of beginning debate on healthcare reform. And on Saturday, he mentioned this about credit cards.
Americans know that they have a responsibility to live within their means and pay what they owe. But they also have a right not to get ripped off by the sudden rate hikes, unfair penalties, and hidden fees that have become all too common in our credit card industry.
So, Marcus, leading with a credit card bill of rights and leading with voluntary industry cost savings on health care conceivably begins a very, very tough battle in Congress on two important consumer issues.
These are huge issues, John. You're right. And these are two issues we can expect to dominate this week. In some ways, it comes much closer to home than what we've seen in the last few weeks. We've seen lots of stuff about, kind of big fangled stuff in the finance industry and stress tests and saving banks. This hits Americans at home. These are two of our hugest costs for most of us. Healthcare for us and our families, which is, obviously employer healthcare programs where most of us get our healthcare are declining.
Costs are rising double of inflation. Healthcare inflation is double the national inflation rate.
Absolutely. And as we see more workers being thrown out of their jobs, and we can expect, even if the economy is bottoming out and expected to start going up now, we can still expect unemployment to go up, as much as a whole percentage point between now and next year. More and more Americans in that case find themselves out of work. And once their COBRA payments expire, then they find themselves usually uninsured. Mm-hmm. So this is a huge problem, and it's growing every day. That's obviously the heart of where we live. And then secondly, if you're talking about the credit card problem, that again, this is a problem millions of Americans are affected by, and the credit card industries are, this is kind of, I think, going to be the next big battle. This will be, a much bigger battle for the administration, actually, because the president has kind of prepackaged this deal with healthcare companies, but we're going to see, I think, a big battle with credit card companies.
How much of a battle is it, though? Is the economy possibly an opportunity because people are really paying attention to this issue? Does he have a real window here to push things forward in the way that the stimulus package went forward?
Well, this is two things. Number one, as Rahm Emanuel, the chief of staff, says, never waste a good crisis. That's always an opportunity, and that's how they see this. And then secondly, as a president, this is clearly not a president who's an underachiever. I mean, this guy, we're 107 days now, and this guy's talking about two of the hugest problems that we've dealt with for a long, long time, and he is not shy about confronting them all at once.
Well, it strikes me that one of the things that's happened in the United States is that people are changing their fundamental relationship to what it means to be a citizen. Do you agree that people were a bit more disengaged during the Bush era, and now with Obama particularly pushing huge changes in the banking and financial industries, that people may have more of an influence on public policy?
Well, it's interesting. I think that's part of it. I think also it's the fact that people also, most of that Bush administration time, as far as economics were concerned, most of us personally were doing okay, and things were getting better all the time, and it was a continuation of the Clinton era of prosperity, personally. That with that over, nothing focuses the mind like this crisis we're going through right now. And I think that's a lot of this kind of difference you're seeing in people's attitudes.
Another issue this week is definitely an inside the Beltway issue. I sort of said at the top of the hour, there was Barack Obama at the White House Correspondents' Dinner making a joke about Vice President Cheney, referring to interrogation techniques. Mm-hmm. And Vice President Cheney was on the talk shows all weekend long saying that perhaps we're less safe than we used to be. Here's the former Vice President on CBS's Face the Nation.
When things are quieter 20 or 30 years from now, you'll be able to look back on this and say this is one of the great success stories of American intelligence. I think, in fact, what the men and women in the intelligence community and the lawyers in the Justice Department and the senior officials who approved this program did exactly the right thing.
That issue will be on the table when the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee holds a hearing, What Went Wrong, on Wednesday and Thursday this week. And among the issues are whether we're going to be perceived as safer or not. Vice President Cheney says we're less safe under the Obama administration, and the enhanced interrogation techniques, so-called, will be looked at by this subcommittee. Also, Nancy Pelosi, we learned last week, she was briefed on this early on by the CIA. Is that going to dominate the debate this week?
It's interesting because the broader issues here are ones of safety. The Republicans, certainly the old guard, like the vice president, which is interesting about the vice president. We hear him so much more today than we ever did when he was vice president. It's extraordinary. They will emphasize this question of it's about being safe. The administration is talking about, well, what techniques are legal and what aren't. That's what it's trying to concentrate on, kind of the practical issues here. And the Democrats in Congress are trying to hold the Republicans' feet to the fire and saying, well, we need investigations here, which actually technically investigations could be a distraction from the administration getting it right as far as the policy goes. Nancy Pelosi's defense about the 2002 briefing was that this was about supposedly techniques that were going to be used in the future. And then secondly, she said that she was unaware, she was told that anything done would be legal. That's her defense, which ironically is much like Condoleezza Rice's defense.
Right, exactly. Well, certainly the outline of the debate on national security is going to be seen at those hearings this week in Washington. Marcus Mabry, thanks so much for helping us set the agenda for a busy week in Washington. Marcus Mabry, international business editor for The New York Times. Thanks, Marcus.
Pleasure.
Well, John, in Pakistan, thousands of people are fleeing the Swat Valley, where the government is intensifying its fight against Taliban militants. Officials also don't really know how to grasp a refugee crisis that it's this massive. And tens of thousands of civilians just this weekend took advantage of a curfew, left the region. The military says government forces have killed hundreds of militants over the weekend. Now we've got BBC reporter Mark Dummett, who's in Islamabad. Mark, let's get right to it. Update us on the refugee crisis and where these folks are going.
Well, as you rightly said, yesterday they lifted a curfew. The army lifted a curfew which allowed about 100,000 people to flee the Swat Valley and move down to the south to lower ground, to safer ground. Now, some are being put up in camps, in tents, and the government and the UN and the Red Cross and others are looking after them. But most have moved in with families, with family members, with friends, or are renting accommodation. Basically, the feeling is that at the moment, things are okay. Enough aid is getting to these people, even though the numbers are huge. But if this crisis drags on for much longer, then things could become really unmanageable for the authorities.
Let me ask you a strategic question, Mark Dummett. It seems to me the intensity of this offensive against the Taliban suggests that why didn't Pakistan do this earlier? Why didn't Pakistan take this kind of step against Al-Qaeda 8 years ago? To do it now only begs the question, it seems to me, cries out to know where were they 8 years ago?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you're right in that the army and the government is saying now that, yes, they're fully committed to this fight and that they're doing all they can to deal a knockout blow to the Taliban in the Swat Valley. But I think the Pakistanis would also say that, you know, in 2003, 2004, they were also serious and they committed tens of thousands of troops to the border area with Afghanistan. And they have lost more men than the Americans, than the other NATO forces just over the border in Afghanistan. But, yes, I mean, they've been heavily criticized as well for their lack of commitment at times and also for their tactics. And again, the spotlight is on their tactics right now because they rely on aerial power. I mean, that's like the Americans and NATO in Afghanistan as well, and artillery. Civilians get caught up in that. Civilians are being killed. Houses are being destroyed. And that's really uncomfortable for the Pakistani government. It's one thing, you know, for Western governments, they can sort of ignore what the Afghans are saying about them, but it's very difficult for the Pakistani government. You know, when they're killing their own civilians, they're very, very unpopular.
Right. What about journalists? You know, in another crisis in Sri Lanka, we don't really have a hard sense of what's going on in terms of the numbers because journalists can't really get in. What about in Pakistan?
Well, yeah, I mean, the fighting has suddenly become so intensive that we don't really know what's going on in there because all the civilians who could flee have done so. And of course, that includes most of the journalists who are based up in Swat, the Pakistani journalists. I mean, foreign journalists have tried to get up there. I mean, a BBC team went up there. An Al Jazeera team went up there last week, and actually they were fired upon. Their correspondent was shot twice. I mean, they survived, but it's a warning. I mean, it's very, very dangerous. So no one's being blocked, but it is basically too dangerous.
Okay, Mark, thank you so much. BBC reporter in Islamabad, Mark Dummett.
Boy, that is a terrifying situation up there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.